Packers, we watch them play. When they score a touchdown, we shout to Ray.
Outside is Edgar Bennett. Here's Brett looking to the end zone. Brett dancing around. Brett to the end zone. Touchdown, Andre Rison. Got knocked down as he caught the ball, but he held on, and the Packers have gone out in front by two touchdowns.
Ciao a tutti, nuova puntata di PFN, la numero 20 addirittura. Io sono Salvatore Iappolo, con me Matteo Rubinato. Ciao Matt.
Ciao Sal.
Allora, nonostante piccole difficoltà di ieri, insomma, che abbiamo superato, le hanno anche i più grandi, quindi figurarsi noi. E ci siamo con una nuova puntata, abbiamo il nostro grande ospite che abbiamo atteso da tanto, uno dei sostenitori della prima ora di IPFN, possiamo dire, perché ci ha sostenuto da mesi a questa parte su Twitter, ha fatto propaganda per noi, quindi è un grande onore, un grande piacere averlo qui, John Rehor di Packers Talk. Hi John, thank you for being here.
No problem, how are you guys doing today?
Fine, fine, it's finally happening and we're so happy to have you here on the show to talk about the Packers. And I wanted to start with something that I'm actually a little bit jealous of you, because you were in Lambeau Field last Saturday for the ceremony dedicated to Brett Favre and his induction into the Packers Hall of Fame. And as I told you earlier, Matteo and I were watching on our computers and some tears were shed. What was it like to be there?
It was amazing. It was literally amazing. I was up, fortunate enough to be up there all weekend, so you know I got to meet him at an autograph signing before the actual event. And I got to tell you something, just to put my hand in his hand and shake his hand and say thank you, that was a moment I'll never forget, seriously.
I can
it was unbelievable. But then to go to the stadium and experience that, that is a really words don't describe it. When they got ready to announce him, because his family walked out first, and everybody was cheering for Deanna and his daughters and everybody else that was out there. But when they started to announce his name, I got a little misty-eyed, I admit. You know, I was unfortunate enough, I never got to see him play. So the entire reason that I wanted to go up there was I felt I owed it to him to be a part of that day. For as much joy as he brought me, I thought it was important to go. Speaking of going, is somebody's house on fire? Okay.
No, actually, the baby milk is ready, so...
it's actually pretty hot in here, so it might happen, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anyways, so, you know, when they announced his name and when he came out, you know, I've been to a dozen, maybe 15 games in my life. That was the loudest I have ever heard that stadium, ever. Louder than any game. I've been to a playoff game, but when he walked out there and everybody cheered, that was the loudest I've ever heard that place. And it was amazing. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Maybe the only thing that wasn't quite good to have was the music so loud when he walked in, because he covered all the cheers for a while, at least on TV.
Yeah. It was fairly loud in the stadium too, but eventually the cheering did drown out the music. And I mean, let's give it to the Packers for really going back into that 90s Wayback Machine and sticking with the, you know, jock jams of 1995 for the playing that, you know, he walked out to. I was like, come on, man. Seriously, we can't do something better? Anyways, that's besides the point.
So, were you actually angry with him before... all the reconciliation took place and for what happened back in the day? Now seems like hundreds of years ago, but it was just 5 years ago.
Right.
Seven.
I was never really angry with him. We'll start in like 2008, because I mean, it's obviously a process for him to leave Green Bay and then get to the Vikings and then come back. I wasn't angry with him in 2008. I think you could say disappointed more than anything else, because they asked for his decision to come back and play, and he gave him a decision that he wasn't really sure on. And he really should have stuck to his guns and kind of said, I'm really not sure, guys. But I was also disappointed with the Packers when, you know, when he asked for his release, when he figured out that he wanted, you know, when he wanted to come back and play and they weren't going to let him back, the Packers should have just released him or traded him. Because, I mean, and I said this, you know, over the years, if Minnesota would have said, we're going to give you 3 first-round draft picks for Brett Favre. Why would you not take that trade? Yeah. Why? 3 first-round draft picks for a team that it was they were good, but they weren't great back in 2008, 2009. You know, I mean, why would you not trade someone for 3 first-round draft picks? So I never understood why they didn't do that.
Yeah, also, if they thought that he couldn't play anymore, why don't trade to a division rival? I mean, he couldn't play anyway.
Exactly. I mean, if they had figured out after the 2008 championship game that they were done with him, they should have just honored his wishes, in my opinion, and let him go.
But you think they really offered that kind of deal? You think really Minnesota offered the Packers front office like a 2 or 3 round pick for him?
I think that if the deal was right, I think Green Bay would have taken the trade seriously. And you shouldn't be if you're that confident in Aaron Rodgers, which they clearly were at the time, why would you want to hang on to an aging 39-year-old Brett Favre?
Yeah, I know what the problem is, because I think they were quite sure that he couldn't play in the cold game, okay? But
right.
Let me tell you that if you get Thompson or McCarthy, you trade Rodgers to Minnesota, okay? And they beat you like they beat us, okay? After you trade him, and can you live with that?
No.
Exactly, that's the point. Because I think, I was more disappointed about the fact that he went to Minnesota like a couple of years after and a couple of retirement speech after, okay, about that. But how can you trade him? I agree with you. If they offer me 3 rounds, first round pick, I'm going to make the deal. But are you going to sign the deal?
Here's what I said on From the Benches. So think back after the 2007 season. You had Brett Favre, 39 years old. And you were 38 years old, actually. And then you had Aaron Rodgers, who I believe was in the last year of his rookie deal, might have had 1 year more after that.
Yeah, I think so.
So you risk potentially losing Rodgers, and God only knows where the team would be if you didn't have Rodgers. But you also risk hanging on to Favre, who was at the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
Well, who's the more valuable chip in that play? And I mean, in my opinion, the more valuable chip was Rodgers, because he was clearly younger, and as he showed against the game in Dallas, he was ready to go. So, you know, if Favre wanted to keep on playing, and you could have said, we have Brett Favre available, anybody want him? And if Minnesota, Chicago, or any team said, we will give you 3 first-round draft picks for him, I would have made that trade in a heartbeat. Yeah. In a heartbeat.
Who do you think was the bad guy in that situation? I mean, I think it was Bill Johnson on Green and Gold Today said that basically it was his wife, Diana, who made him do things that maybe he wasn't ready to do with the comeback, with the sticking it to the Packers and so on. Do you agree with that? It reminds me of the wife in Any Given Sunday.
I think that he was getting a lot of bad advice from a lot of people. I really do. I think that, you know, in the end, it probably would have been his wife, because obviously he's married to his wife. He's going to, I assume, talk to his wife more than anybody else. But you have to figure that he's got his wife, his agent, his kids, his brother, his sister, and everybody else kind of like tugging him in all kinds of different directions. And I don't think he really knew what to do, especially when he got to the point where he was retired and then he started having those second thoughts.
Yeah. That happened right after retirement, if I recall correctly. And Peter King said that in March of 2008, he received a text message from Favre saying that. So it didn't last long, actually.
Right. And that's the point where if he would have stuck to his, like, because remember the report came out that said he retired and he came back and changed his mind. Like, they were all set to go down and welcome him back, and he changed his mind again. I think at that point, that's when Green Bay should have been like, we're done, and just told him, we are done with you. If you want to come back and play, we will either trade you or release you, but we're not going to play this game anymore. So I think that everybody was at fault. If you want to sum it up, I think it was poor communication by a lot of different parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on everything, but still, if I'm Ted Thompson, obviously I know more, far less than him, okay? And you agree on everything, okay? And the Minnesota Vikings, my division rival that at that time, they were not bad, I think, because I think they just missed their quarterback to go to the Super right. Bowl, like they almost did the year after. And you're going to give me three rounds pick. Okay, I made the deal. And they're going to Vikings with Favre going to the Super Bowl. And let's say Aaron Rodgers doesn't be as good as is right now, because right now that you can never complain about anything. I think we have like the football god with a green and gold jersey right now, and you cannot survive that. So it was a tough situation to be in. So talking right now, yeah, I agree on everything, but signing the deal, I think it was more heavier than anything else, probably. So I'm not blaming anyone. It was just a bad situation. Probably they could handle it better. Okay. Thank God he threw that pick in New Orleans. Thank God we won the Super Bowl the year after. And thank God now he's back home, I think.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
And just let me ask something. Because,
sure.
And then we're going to talk about the good time. Okay.
Okay.
And there is like a report like from Mark Toucher, I think, in an interview, that after the NFC Championship game with the Giants, that he threw the pick, okay, mm-hmm. when seeing that Favre in the locker room said, okay, thank God they beat us, so we're not going to get our ass kicked next week.
Yep.
I don't know if it's true. I don't know what you think. I don't know that.
I think it was Jason Wilde that first kind of mentioned that on his show. I heard it 6 months ago, maybe a year or so ago, and I remember tweeting him one of those like, "Wait, what did he say?" You know, and he came back and said, "You know, it was never really reported, but it was kind of information." You know, I think the thing to remember about someone like Favre is this: Favre's sense of humor is not comical; it's not witty; it's very dry. So, if he were to say that, we really don't know, and he's the only one that can answer, if he said it being serious, if he said it in jest. We don't know, and we never will know. I will say this. If he said that and was sincere, as a leader of the team, and I would say this about Aaron Rodgers or any future Packers quarterback, that is a very poor way to lead your team to actually say something like that, because you can't admit defeat until defeat happens. And even then, a lot of guys are afraid to admit that they lost, you know, but to immediately after throwing the pick, the end of the game, the end of your season, to come out and say, well, now we won't have to get our ass kicked by the Patriots. Really? Because that's not so cool. And if he did say that, if I was Ted Thompson, if I was Mike McCarthy, and if I heard about that, and if it was verified that it was true, that right there might have sealed the deal to say, we are moving on from him.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, because that shows that you're not committed to win. That's not what I mean. But it's not a way that a leader would act.
Yeah. Because the report, like, I think everybody has a good opinion of Mark Toucher. I think I never hear anybody talking bad about him. And so the report coming from him is just like I was with my mouth open. What? Are you serious?
I have the audio bite from that Green and Gold show in which Jason Wilde mentioned it. So I sometimes listen to it and say, why?
Right.
Actually, but Mike Toucher was at the flag football game, so maybe they're not enemies right now. Maybe it was just a misunderstanding at the time. I don't know.
Right. And that goes back, you know, we really don't know the context in which it was said. He could have been joking. He could have been, we really don't know. But, you know, so much from that entire year, from the beginning of the season all the way until he was traded in August. So, I mean, you go through from 2007 into 2008. So much of that time is so misunderstood. And we don't know all the facts, and we probably never will know all the facts, just because it was such an awkward time for everybody that was involved. I'm very glad that we've moved past that point, that he's back in the fold, so we don't have to play the game of, what did that mean? Although everybody will still continue to play it, because that's how everybody rolls with Brett Favre and the Packers. So
do you agree with Ron Wolf when he says that Brett Favre is the greatest Packer ever? Because I tend to agree, but on a certain degree. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback ever, but as as the importance to the team in the period in which he arrived, I think Favre had a greater impact. That's my take. So I tend to agree, actually.
My heart will always say that Favre is the best player in the Packers history. My heart. My head might tell me something different. I think, you know, like you said, for him to come around at the time he did, I think his impact was greater than anybody else. So, I mean, if you want to say who had the greatest impact on the team's history, I think you would have to say Favre. And if you want to go with 1B because of hand-in-hand, Reggie White is right up there too. Because those two guys, you know, put leaders on both sides of the ball at a time when they were getting ready to start their run in the 90s. Do I think Aaron Rodgers will wind up having a better career? I do. I mean, statistically, he's already shown it. But my heart will always say that Favre is best. Kind of hard to disagree with Ron Wolf. I mean, if he says he's the greatest player of all time, I'll agree until I'm proven wrong, I guess. He would know better. I think Ron's a little biased, but, I mean, I kind of would be too. But for now, I would say I think Favre is the best player in Packers history. Now, with all due respect, I never got to see Don Hutson play.
Yeah.
Never saw Bart Starr play. I never saw, you know, Paul Hornung, and I never saw Forrest Gregg and Jerry Kramer, and I mean all these other players that are, you know, legends. Clark Hinkle, I mean all these guys. So, you know, it's kind of hard and unfair to those guys to say that he's the greatest. I mean, my time goes back to, I mean, God, I remember the days when Randy Wright, you know, was leading the team in the 80s. That was horrible. So.
We are pretty lucky, actually, John, because actually I'm really following the Packers. And I think the first Packers game that I watched like a real fan, it was like the Philadelphia playoff game. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Because actually I watched, it's like 10 years that I watched it because I didn't have the pay TV and the issue just in the pay TV. And then from that moment, it started going more and more and more. So I just fell in love with the Packers just because of Brett Favre. So he has a special place in my heart too, actually. But I see when he was that like the best part of his career was going, it was already passed. Okay. And, he has a wonderful career, I think, with the Packers, okay? But he just had one Super Bowl with just one ring. We had to say that he had just one, that he have a ring or just one ring.
Right. And, you know, look at Dan Marino. Dan Marino is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. He has zero rings. So I think it's not, you can't say that, well, he only won one Super Bowl. Yeah, but he won a Super Bowl. And I think that's the most important thing. That right there will cement his place in NFL history. Away from the statistics and all the other stuff, he won a Super Bowl. His name is permanently attached to one of the greatest, put the greatest in quotes because it's up for debate, teams in history. And I mean, I guess if you want to do the other side, well, he also lost a Super Bowl. Yeah, but how many other players don't even get to a Super Bowl? You know,
yeah.
And, you know, I always like to compare it to this when I'm talking to people about it. The Buffalo Bills back in the late 80s and early 90s, they were really, really, really good. And they lost four straight Super Bowls. And I don't think teams like that get enough credit because in the AFC at that time, they were the best team. And unfortunately, Jim Kelly will always be permanently, you know, I guess stained, if you want to put it like that, because he didn't win a Super Bowl. But Jim Kelly was a really, really good quarterback on some really, really good teams. We're fortunate enough that we've had Favre, who won one and lost one, and Rodgers, who's won one, and who knows what the future brings. That's why I feel, you know, very lucky to be a Packers fan. I've seen two Super Bowl championships in my life. Not many fans of other teams can say they've even seen one.
Yeah. Right. I tend to agree. I'd be 100% agree with you, but actually, we have a Facebook group here, and most of the time it came out that we Aaron Rodgers, we only have one ring, okay? Because we are not like used, like in American sport, like almost every team has the same chances of the other team to win, okay? Mm-hmm. And we are used maybe like, you know, here soccer is really the popular thing ever, more than politics, more than anything else, right. Probably, okay? And actually, we have like two, three four teams that can share the championship almost every year, okay? So they think that the winning is easy, okay? And actually, they used to like criticize the front office because with Aaron Rodgers, we only have one ring, one Super Bowl. And it's hard to explain to us that there is the other 31 teams in NFL that have the same chance and that they try to win every year. But
go ahead.
And it's hard to explain to them this. And just because you have Rodgers, that doesn't mean that your team is better than the other one, I think.
Yeah, basically they say that since you have Rodgers, you have to put the entire team better because you have to improve the team for Rodgers to win multiple championships. I don't know if I explained it correctly.
No, you did. Yeah. Here's how I would look at that question. In 2010, they were, you know, the Packers were picked to go pretty high before the season. They were picked to go pretty high into the playoffs, pretty deep in the playoffs. And then everybody got hurt. I mean, so you have the best quarterback in the league, who he himself missed, you know, a game. But it was other players of the entire team that rose to the occasion and led them to that championship.
But the next year when they were 15-1 and
everybody was healthy, they got absolutely trounced in the playoffs because the defense sucked.
Yeah.
So it's really not – you. It doesn't matter if it's one really good player because, I mean, you can have one really good quarterback, one really good running back, one really good wide receiver, but if everybody doesn't, you know, play up to the level of their ability exactly and step up, you're not going to win nothing.
Yeah.
I love baseball, okay? And my favorite team is the Yankees. And the Yankees are infamous for going out, and they will just sign free agents all over the place. Well, at least they used to. And they never developed their own talent because you'd have a bunch of individuals playing as individuals. And I was never really sure they were playing as a team. And it wasn't until the late 90s and early 2000s when their own talent from the farm system started to come up, and you started to see them gel as a team, that they started to win championships again. Yeah. Same thing in football. You can't have a bunch of individuals. You can't have a bunch of, like, Dez Bryants running over the field, because you know what you're going to have? Some really, really good players who don't win jack nothing at the end of the year. Yeah. It's just how it works.
And then when they start to criticize the front office because they don't add like the missing piece on the team.
Right. You know, like Jermaine Gresham, the free agent tight end. He's visiting with the team today, I think. Okay. He's a veteran. And oh my God, if we don't sign him, oh, the Packers aren't going to win nothing because we didn't sign a veteran free agent.
But, which 1 week into training camps is still free. So I guess it's not that prime time free agent, actually.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, I hate when people say that Ted doesn't sign free agents. Yeah, he does. He signs his own because he's got a bunch of really, really good players. And you don't need to go out and sign a bunch of free agents to be a good team. When the Eagles went out and they signed everybody 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and they were the dream team. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And they sucked. So, and I don't like the criticism of Thompson with regards to he doesn't sign free agents. I do criticize him slightly because I do think that there are times that he should, you know, dip his toe into the water a little bit and doesn't. But after 10 years of this now, is anybody really surprised what he does? Exactly. He's going to do what he does. He's going to do what he always does. And then every once in a while, he will do something and be like, sign Julius Peppers. And be like, he signed Julius Peppers, you know? And then everybody's eyes kind of, you know, they kind of take a step back and they're like, holy cow.
Oh, my God. I was sitting down on the couch and I saw their part. I was down from the couch. What happened? Are you serious? I couldn't believe that. So
I'll tell you, because Peppers played in Chicago, when he signed with the Packers, you know, I went into work the next day and everybody was like, I can't believe that Julius Peppers signed with the Packers. And I was like, yeah, that's a bummer for you guys, I guess. You know, but it's like, you know, he will do what he feels is best. He will find the right players, whether it's through free agency or the draft, that best fit his idea and his mind of what's going to work for this team. And don't try and get in the mind of Ted Thompson, because nobody can do it. He's a vault. He doesn't give out any information. You know, just go with it. Don't get upset about it. And at the end of, you know, when his time is done, hopefully our next GM is just as good. And if he's not, well, then you can be the one person that, or I'm quite sure there'll be more than a few people that say, I really wish we had Ted Thompson back running the show. Because I remember what it was like before Ron Wolf, when the team was an absolute train wreck.
Oh my God. Let's not go back to that ever again.
And you can't imagine what happened here after the first selection in this year's draft when everybody expected an inside linebacker and Eric Kendricks was still there. People went crazy. I mean, they thought they should absolutely take an inside linebacker because our best rush defense sucks. He chose a guy that thought suits best for the idea of team that he and the coaches have and stuck with it. I mean, people was crazy back then.
You know, the only time I was ever adamant on drafting someone was when they went out and they got HaHa last year. I thought that they desperately needed a safety because as it showed in 2013, our safety play was horrible. So they went on and they got Clinton Dix and great, everything was solved. But going into this year's draft, okay, we need cornerbacks because we figured Tremont or Devon or both were going to leave. We need help at, you know, can always use some depth on the offensive line because unfortunately some of our offensive linemen, Derek Sherrod, have not worked out. We could use help at, you know, wide receiver because God only knows what, you know, the plans are once you get past Nelson and Cobb, who knows? So then when they went out and they drafted Randall, and it's like Demarius Randall, it's like, so you draft a safety who is a safety right now, but he's probably going to be a cornerback. Okay, you know? I was like, okay, whatever, you know? Because I know in the end, it'll work. You know, somehow Ted will make it work. Mike will make it work. Capers, well, that's another story.
Yeah, I know you're very critical of him, and I actually read an article back from 2012 in which you said that you were done with him, and still done?
Yeah, that article got me a lot of grief. I get frustrated with Dom Capers because I feel he always takes his foot off the gas at the worst times. I think case in point is, you know, against Seattle last year when we lost in the championship game. I felt that no lead was too safe, and he started backing off and playing too soft of a zone. And he does that consistently, and it drives me insane. I understand why, because you don't want to put people out on islands and, you know, they're chucking the ball downfield when your safety play is horrible. But he constantly does it, and he's done it his entire career, and it's just frustrating because you have – a defense which is supposed to be an attack defense that doesn't always attack. And I just don't understand. You know, I would like, you could be up 65 to nothing and I would not see him, you know, blitzing four people at the same time just to show, yeah, we're not done. You know, we are going to ram it down your throat. But as I say every year, I'm willing to give him another chance.
So you're happy about what Mike McCarthy did last offseason, that he's going to be like the head coach, he's not going to be play the call, he's not gonna make the play calling again, and he's gonna supervise even the defense right now.
It's gonna be different. I don't know if I'm really excited. I'm more curious, I think, because he's never not called the plays. You know what I mean? So I'm not really sure how his overseeing everything is gonna be. Like, I'm interested to see what Tom Clements does as a play caller. I'm interested to see what Edgar Bennett does as the offensive coordinator. You know, on that part. I'm also interested to see how Winston Moss is the associate coach on the defense handles things and whether he has more say-so in the defense now that Capers technically reports to him. It's going to be a weird thing to see. As long as it brings a Super Bowl championship home at the end of the year, I don't really care what they do, you know? But it's just going to be weird, and I imagine it will be difficult for McCarthy after playing, you know, calling plays for, I mean, God, going back over 10 years now, you know, going back to when he was still in San Francisco. It's going to be weird for him to probably, the first time he wants to call a play and he's not calling that play, that will be kind of weird to see.
So do you agree with Bill Johnson that honestly, I don't know Salvatore, but I heard him say that in our podcast first. He said he's not Super Bowl or bust, he's winning the Super Bowl or bust.
I would agree. Because, you know, in that business, your goal is to win the whole thing. So what's the point of being number two? You know what I mean? You know, if, like, what's Vince Lombardi's saying, you're not first, you're last. I mean, that's pretty true. Because if you're the runner-up, what are you the runner-up to? You're the runner-up to everybody else. You're just like everybody else. Because nobody remembers who lost the Super Bowl. Only remember who wins the Super Bowl. And that's the only thing that really matters when – you know, the history books are printed. Who won the Super Bowl? You know, it would be nice to get back. I have pretty good faith that they are going to make a nice deep playoff run this year. Whether or not they'll get to the Super Bowl, my approach is every year is this. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. Because there are some years I think that they won't go, and they do, 2010. And then there's other years I think they will go, and they don't, 2011, 2014. I mean, who knows what happens? I think it's a combination of a lot of luck, a lot of good play. I think you have to have the right momentum going into the playoffs. I know momentum is a bad word to use. It's so many people think it's like a stupid word to use, but it's true.
Yeah, it fits, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, if everything goes well and if all the pieces happen to fit in that puzzle at the right time, you come home with the Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm actually looking at the Return of Titletown flag that I have hanging up in my room. And I'm wondering, will I be able to add one on the other side of the door frame that's hanging over right now? I'm not going to say yes, but I am pretty confident that they will at least be one of the top two teams in the NFC. And, you know, whether it's them battling Philadelphia or Seattle or Arizona or somebody else, I don't know if they're going to make it or not, but I think they're going to be real fun to watch this year.
Okay.
Maybe, I mean, they're focusing on starting fast this year. And after, I think it is three consecutive 1-2 starts, this will be the fourth. And they say it's important, of course, to start fast. But isn't it better, as you said, finishing fast? I mean, if you have time to make up for what you lost in the first part of the season, it's better to be ready later for the playoff.
I think it's a catch-22. I really do. My friend CD, or Tundervision on Twitter, you know, he has said this a couple times, and I agree. If you start too fast in the beginning of the year, you tire out at the end, mm-hmm. right? But if you start slow, you're looking up at people in the standings. So really, which is the... I would rather them start out... You could start out 3-0, but you don't want to peak at the wrong time.
Yep.
You don't want to, you know, have all your momentum going into the season, and then by the time you come out of the bye week, it's gone. You know, that's one of the dangers of having the bye week too early is that, you know, a couple years ago, they had in like week five, you know, and if you start out like gangbusters and then you have a bye week and you don't play for 2 weeks, you may come out of that bye week completely flat and have to try and figure out how to get back to where you were because you were so hot coming out of training camp. Yeah. In my opinion, it's much more important to finish strong. You have to win the games you need to win. You need to win your division games, no matter when they are, so that way you can win your division, obviously. But you also want to win your division and your NFC games, so that way you can get home field advantage in the playoffs. If you don't do that, I mean, your season's kind of screwed. I think this year could be another one of those slow starts just because of who they're playing in the first few weeks of the season. You know, you start off against Chicago. Yeah.
That's a start off bye week. Chicago.
I mean, I don't think so. You know, Chicago always plays them tough, except for last year when they're losing 42-0 at second quarter, whatever it was. But, you know, I think Chicago will be a little bit better this year. And then you go to Seattle, or you play Seattle, I should say.
Yeah.
You could come out 2-0. You very well could come out 0-2 after those two games. So, you know, as long as they figure out what their definition of team, in quotes again, is fairly quickly, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, maybe the Seattle game is especially important after the NFC Championship game mentally. I mean, they finally overcome this gigantic obstacle that they built for themselves. Maybe the entire season will go smoothly. That's correct.
Or they could peak in that Seattle game. See, this is the catch-22 I was talking about. Because yeah. What if they are looking so much at that game as a payback game, you know, which isn't true. It's in the regular season. It's not in the playoffs. They put so much energy into that game. They come out of that game absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, that's the danger. What I would like to see in that game, and this is just me, this goes back to what I was talking about, taking the foot off the gas. If they're up 65-0, literally, you try and run it up. And I would purposely try and run it up just to prove a point to Pete Carroll and everybody on that team. You're not better than us. we were the better team last year, and we're going to shove it down your throat and prove it to you. And hopefully they don't have to play again in the playoffs, because that would be pretty ugly if they did. But
I will be at that game, so I'm nothing against what you said. So and especially if I want to see Carol like begging us to stop. So
right, I can see Pete Carroll on the sidelines whining and crying and all that stuff. I mean, it's whatever. And in fairness, I will say this: I enjoy watching. Seattle's an interesting team to watch for this reason. I like Russell Wilson. I think that he is a tremendously gifted player. Tremendously gifted player. And I like watching their defense because the Seattle defense does what I wish our defense did. They attack whoever has the ball. You know? Mm-hmm. It's just the way that their defense is played. It's the players that they have, obviously. And, I mean, you can't like, flip a switch and turn everybody into, you know, what's his face? Forgot the cornerback's name on the Seahawks, but whatever.
Sherman.
Thank you, Richard Sherman. You can't turn everybody into people like that. I'm not talking about his attitude. I'm just talking about his play. But I like the way that they attack. So they are an interesting and fun team to watch. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the Seahawks. Don't try and misinterpret anybody listening out there in Tactical Land. But they're a fun team to watch in the sense that they do a lot of things I wish that our team did.
Yeah, considered among the best in the NFC, but Matteo and I, actually looking at the roster, think that the offensive line isn't that good anymore with Unger going away. Okay, they have Graham, but offensive line kind of sucks.
And, yeah, they lost Unger, they lost Carpenter, and they're Carpenter. Wishing that they don't sign James Jones, because I think they can really be better with him on the team. Yeah, I agree with Salvatore on that, but I think like everybody's underestimated that they lost two key pieces of the offensive lineman.
And also the defensive coordinator. I mean, that could count.
But, you know, because I'm not a Seahawks fan, I don't know all the ins and outs about them, but I will say this. Their team is still young enough, you know, where they could still make a run this year, maybe in the next year. But if they were to lose Russell Wilson... I think Russell Wilson is the key to that offense.
Yeah.
And if they were to lose Wilson, who I know, you know, they want to sign him to a long-term deal and he doesn't want to sign or whatever the nonsense is going on with him. If they were to lose him, that would be bad. You know, I know they locked up Lynch for a couple more years, and Lynch is a very important piece of that offense. But the way that Russell Wilson runs that offense is so important to them. You know, they could very much turn into like, you know, kind of like a 2011 Packers where – the offense is carrying the team because their defense starts to deteriorate. You know, we don't know. And that's going to be an interesting thing to watch with them is how do they respond to losing these people on offense and defense with the coordinator this year. You know, because you have Arizona, who, if Carson Palmer had stayed healthy last year, they would have been a playoff team.
Yeah.
San Francisco, God only knows what's going to happen with them now that Harbaugh's gone. I mean, they could be a train wreck. They could be, you know, they've lost so many people with retirement. And then you have the Rams. And the Rams, once again, if they could just stay healthy, you know, they could surprise people. That could be a very, very fun division to watch this year.
Yeah, and we play in that division this year, actually.
Exactly.
So, I think everybody is underestimating the Lions here.
Me too.
Yeah, they lost two key pieces of defensive linemen, but they got Angata, and they got better piece on the offensive line. That was the big problem last year, and I think a lot of people are underestimating them.
I see the thing with the Lions to me is this: they've had so much talent for so many years, and they haven't done anything with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they had a couple years under Schwartz where they were pretty good, and they went to the playoffs. But they've never been able to figure it out enough where they can actually, like, win a division, get in the playoffs, and win a game. I don't know what it is. I think it's a combination. You know, you have, you know, Stafford, who will chuck the ball 800 times a season if he could. But I don't know. You know, they're just such an enigma. There's so much talent, and they can't put it together. Now, the team in our division that I'm telling you right now is going to be good. Minnesota.
Yeah. I really like Minnesota. Teddy.
Yeah, they were not bad last year with a rookie quarterback and no Peterson.
Yeah.
Now you have a second-year Bridgewater and then Peterson, who is suddenly happy and, you know, to be a Viking again. You know, that's going to be a – it could be an interesting team to watch. And the Bears, they will suck. So
they have Bostic. Minnesota have Bostic now.
Yeah. Well, that right there. I mean.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, that's all right. We don't even mind. You know, one quick thing about Brandon Bostic. You know, I know he was released by the Packers. You have to feel sorry for that guy.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, yes, he screwed up and he's admitted he screwed up. He did what he was not supposed to do, but for him to get death threats, for him to get, you know, verbally accosted, you know, by all the Twitter tough guys, I mean, how can you not feel anything but a little bit of pity for him, even after he screwed up and admitted he screwed up?
No, I agree. I agree 100% on that.
I hope he goes to Minnesota, and I'm not saying I hope he has, like, a great career, because I don't think he's got the talent to have a great career, per se, but I hope he goes and is able to start a new phase of his career where he's able to walk away from that one. I mean, it was a colossal mistake. Let's not, you know, mince words here, but he's able to forge his own legacy, I guess, as not the guy who cost the Packers a Super Bowl berth, but a guy who had a pretty successful career and was able to, you know, walk away in his own terms, set himself up financially for the rest of his life, and be proud of his career instead of right now kind of being that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, John, we'll let you go now. It's been a pleasure to have you here with us, and I hope you'll come back sooner or later, maybe during the season.
Absolutely. And you know,
thank you so much for having been here.
No, thank you very much for having me on. You know, like, I love your guys' stuff. You know, like I said, I think it's awesome that there's dedicated Packer fans, you know, across the ocean who do this every week, and I love your guys' stuff. So seriously, keep it up, you know. I will promote the hell out of you guys this year, so hopefully everybody knows just how good of a job you guys do.
Thanks a lot.
No problem. As soon as when are you guys going to put this out? Today or is it going to be tomorrow?
Probably tonight.
In a couple of hours, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Once I see it, I will definitely tweet it. I'll put it up on the Packers Talk page. I'll put it up on my Facebook wall, and I'll post it in some of the groups for you, too.
And I'll retweet, I'll favorite, I'll like on Facebook, everything.
Oh, absolutely. Be sure and give these guys a like and follow them on Twitter, and here's their personal pages. Here's their phone number.
Yeah, just the goers. Yeah, my wife is not listening now, probably. So
thank you so much, John.
Thanks a lot, John. Really, thanks.
Bye.
Sono più. Pronto?
John? Sorry, you guys still there? Sorry about
that. Sorry. No, don't worry. No, thanks a lot for being here. It was a pleasure, and hope you have you back.
Have a great day. Same here. Have a good one, guys. John. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Eccoci qua, Matte, figata, eh?
Grandissimo, mamma mia.
A me la puntata è piaciuta, so che non faccio testo, però a me è piaciuta. Poi...
Tu, no, sei un po' di parte, diciamo. Detta tra me e te, sei un po' di parte.
Ecco,
però...
diciamo che mi sono divertito nel farla.
Ci siamo divertiti nel farla.
Ragazzi, siamo andati anche un po' lunghi, per cui la puntata relativa a Packers by the Numbers la facciamo la prossima volta. Mi dispiace, tanto è Arel Rossum, non è scherzo, però insomma la facciamo la prossima, dai, anche perché altrimenti si fa tardi e poi non ci ascoltate più. E Matte, noi...
Ma ci ascoltano?
Ma qualcuno sì, dai.
Vabbè. Un
paio sì. Non dico i 25 lettori di Manzoni, però qualcuno...
Dai, grazie mille Salvatore, è stato un piacere come
grazie
sempre.
A te. E ci aggiorniamo per domenica, perché abbiamo già detto, e questo qua fa strano, abbiamo già detto quando sarà il nostro prossimo episodio, cioè domenica col podcast congiunto, quella cosa...
Boh, vediamo cosa viene fuori.
Esatto. Grazie a tutti, grazie Matte, grazie John che sono più con noi, e go by go, direi.
Per forza.
Ciao.
Ciao. Time.
times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game, even if from time to time they've been a little lame. How could you ever love a team with Jim McMahon? Not even Porky Pig was as big a ham. They got a reputation that's mostly based on luck. The Bears still suck. 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 They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck. Soldier Field, they make you pay a toll. For cripes sake, they only won one lousy Super Bowl. They make fun of Wisconsin, but we don't get upset. Where do you think that they're all headed every chance they get? We don't really hold a grudge, cause this is all in fun. As far as football rivalries, we're both number one. Still, we wouldn't mind seeing Ditka run over by a truck, cause the Bears still suck. 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 They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck. All the ladies now.
Yes, the Bears.